Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And welcome to Recall the Midwife. We are three superfans of Call the Midwife, and we watch each episode and talk about it. Today we are discussing Series 7, Episode 7. I'm Alex.
I'm Becky.
I'm Jen. A reminder that this week's episode deals with death and dying and grief and loss, so if those topics are ones you would prefer to skip this time, we understand and hope you join us for the next one.
In this week's episode, Tom rushes to Barbara's bedside. After being diagnosed with meningitis, she's kept in isolation, but Tom keeps a vigil at the hospital. Barbara's patients are distributed between the other midwives, and Lucille makes a home visit to check on Mrs. Palmer. Mrs. Palmer is also from Jamaica and reminds Lucille of home. Lucille is struggling after facing discrimination at her church. She learns that Mrs. Palmer's husband is a pastor, and she invites Lucille to join their prayer group. With support from Val, she decides to take up the offer and finds a warm welcome. Sheila returns to her former role to support the Nanartans in Barbara's absence. Meanwhile, Dr. Turner has been assigned to work at Wadelock House, a juvenile detention centre. He meets Michael Sumpter, who is being bullied. He sees Michael defending his wife's honour and learns that Michael found himself there after making a mistake in an attempt to support his pregnant wife, Alison. His mother-in-law dislikes him, and she attempts to keep Alison away from him. But Sheila crosses paths with Alison and informs her that Michael is due in court. Alison goes into labour as she attempts to see Michael. She's admitted to the maternity home and gives birth to a baby boy. Michael is sentenced to 3 years, but he's determined to turn his life around for his son. Barbara rallies and her condition improves, which gives everyone great hope. However, she has suffered irreparable damage, and Tom and Phyllis are by her bedside when she passes away. Oh my god.
Oh, girls.
This is okay. My worst ever episode ever that ever lived of any TV show ever.
This is horrible episode. I'm just gonna tell you, Becky, that was a very, very good synopsis. You wanna hear what we wanna hear what my notes-based synopsis is? Barbara with 2 exclamation points. Then Tim wants to go see the Rolling Stones. Then Star Jumps versus Jumping Jacks. Dr. Turner at the reform school due to scabies. That's it. That's what I got. That's what I've got this week, girls.
My first lines are, "Oh, Barbara," 4 exclamation marks, and then crying face.
Oh my god. I literally, like, this, oh, this, oh, I, 30 seconds into the episode, just tears are shooting. I mean, I genuinely, like, soaked about 4 tissues watching this. This was just such a hard episode.
I very rarely cry when I'm watching it. But I did. And you know, when you start to cry and then you try and like swallow it, and then you like your throat hurts because you're like swallowing a cry.
Yeah.
Alex is like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I just let it out. That's why. Have you ever heard me sneeze?
No. Well, I couldn't identify it. And
it's really, really loud. I just don't try and keep anything in. I'm just like screaming.
The first time I watched this episode, I just wasn't, I just didn't see it coming with Barbara.
Well, it's because people were all visiting her.
Yeah, I really thought she was going to get better.
She rallies and you think, oh, she's making a recovery.
You're like, thank God. Also, can I just say, I did say last week it was meningitis and sepsis.
Yes, you did.
You know, just to make people smug about something while we're really sad.
I mean, I literally when I was watching this episode, I was like, I don't think I can do the pod about this. I think it's gonna be too hard to talk about it. And I honestly, if we start talking about it, I am gonna probably get emotional again.
You know what? I was really annoyed because obviously last week was a really hard episode for me.
Yeah.
To talk about on the pod. And now this, I'm like, great, thanks for that. Two in a row. The Barbara, but I do have to say Barbara was one of my, it's awful that we're saying was now. Oh, I'm feeling really sad. But she was one of my favourites ever. I just loved her so much. She was so amazing, so strong, so brilliant. And it was just really, really sad. I do think actually though, they really did show how much she was loved and reflect that with the way they death.
I also thought it was lovely that she saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why did the actress leave? Did she leave for something, or she just, do we know?
No, I don't know.
This is why they should sign lifetime contracts.
Do you know what, Bex? In the future, in about 5 years probably, not even more, there'll be AI actors and we can just keep them forever.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But we also it won't be real acting.
No, it won't. No, I hope I hope we never get to that place. But I mean, this episode just made me so sad.
Do you know, I wasn't even that sad for Tom. I know that's bad. I was more heartbroken for Phyllis.
I know.
You know, made me first cry when Fred and Violet were hugging outside the shop. Give Tom my love. And they were just hugging each other extra hard because they were so sad.
Well, and let's be real. Both of them have lost a spouse. So they know how painful it is. Yeah. You know, like they get it.
Although I hurt more for Phyllis, I don't understand why that matron, I'm assuming she's a matron, once there was no risk of infection, why she still didn't let Tom actually be by Barbara's bedside.
Oh, I mean, I think he was there a lot, actually.
But at the start, they very much kept him away from her. He was just in the...
Well, yeah, because of the risk.
Waiting room, yeah.
Yeah.
But then also, I think they try and just show it was really harsh in those days. I think that's what they were always trying to say on this show.
Well, also, I just think, like, there wasn't as much knowledge as now. So, and they had, like, less... I mean, like, look at the masks that they wore when they went in the room. It's just cloth. I mean, like, look, I know we all wore masks for a very long time during the pandemic, but, like, the cloth masks we would wear were our second choice when we didn't have, like, proper PPE and everything. So, I mean, nowadays, if Tom was going to go into a room and not be at risk of any infection, he not only would wear a gown, he'd wear, like a full, like, medical mask, he'd wear gloves, you know, the whole deal, like... I mean, I just think back then, like, they didn't have the same capability. You know what I'm saying? Like, they probably would have also had Barbara in, like, one of those, like, tents. You know what I mean? Like, on those infectious units, you know? Like, they have so many precautions.
A bubble.
Yeah, like a little bubble. Oh.
I've written here, poor Nurse Crane and Tom. Tom says, I know how much you love her and how she loves you. And it just killed me because he was talking to Nurse Crane. And I just thought, yes, she does. She does. And Tom never left the hospital the whole time.
I know.
And then when he was allowed to go into Barbara, he was talking about moving to the country and having babies. And then she woke up and I was just like,
oh, God, let's not even get there yet for a second. Like, that's the scene where he was just standing outside in the rain and it was just like soaking him. Mm. And Phyllis came up with the umbrella and she's like, oh, here you go, lad. Like, I've got some clean clothes and some food. She's like, you've got to go home and try to sleep. She's like, I know how hard it is. And he's like, I know, but it's not getting better. Like, I don't know what to do. They won't say anything. Like, she's just the same as she was. And then Phyllis, in like truly one of the most heroic efforts, she was like, well, but that cuts both ways. It, like, you know, she's not getting worse, like, and she could be getting better. So, you know, you have to hold on to that. And I just, oh God, Phyllis.
Well, we know that Barbara did wake up when he was talking about having babies in the country. And he speaks about, for this, have a little chat about Phyllis. And she says, Phyllis said you'd say that about his, because she was like, oh, you need to shave.
Yeah.
So Phyllis said you'd say that. And she was like, Phyllis knows everything.
I know.
Goddamn right she does.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I know.
And then they rang Marta's house to tell everyone that she'd woken up and everyone was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just need to highlight, because when we get onto it, I want to talk about it, and I need this as like the backstory, is that Lucille, because obviously Lucille is going through a lot in this episode. She's home, not that she is homesick, but also she's really struggling.
Yeah.
To fit in.
Yeah.
And also welcome. That made me, I'm going off a tangent because I'm cross that she feels like she has to fit in. She should just be made to feel welcome. But Lucille asks Phyllis if she would like to pray with her. And Phyllis is very adamant that she doesn't want to pray with her. She's happy for Lucille to pray for her, but she doesn't want to. And she doesn't want to.
This is a deleted scene for us.
Oh, well, really?
This is important because I think this is the most powerful. This is what made me later.
Same.
Like, this is important context, Jen.
Okay. Because it really, really added to the scene.
I think I know where you're going with this, but yes, yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
So, and Lucille says, like, I knew she wouldn't want to pray with me. I don't know why I asked her if she would wanted to pray with me, but she said that she's used to kind of praying with people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to build on your point, I mean, what was really sweet about and absolutely like gutting and heartbreaking about it is that I know that we all know from previous episodes that Phyllis has said, like, I don't believe in God. Like, I don't have like that. I don't have a faith in anything like a higher power or whatever.
It's a heathen.
And she and Tom kind of, huh?
She's a heathen. That's what Sarah's sister Monica Joan called, wasn't it? Her, yeah, and Val, exactly. Are heathens. Yeah.
But her and Tom kind of have like an agree to disagree kind of a thing. And then Barbara is the, you know, glue that kind of holds them together. And so, I mean, to me that, yeah, I thought about that a lot as I was watching this episode, because I mean, Phyllis, even though she doesn't have kind of religious faith, everybody's got to lean on something, you know, and she had as much, I don't know, just like goodwill, I guess, which is, I don't want to call it faith because it's not that, I don't want to assign that to her, but like, you know, she tried to lift people up in her way, you know, and like prayer is often considered a way to lift somebody up or like comfort. So, I mean, like everybody's just when you're going through these times, you're just going to dig for something to help get you through. You know what I mean? And we have all got whatever it is we've got, but yeah. Oh,
I lie on the floor listening to really heavy music.
Yeah. I find that stressful, Alex.
That's my most that's not my most stressed. That is my least stressed state. Lying on the floor listening to the high, I can't even speak today, listening to the heaviest music I can.
I can remember the olden days when you'd bought a heavy metal CD when you were with me and we were driving somewhere and you put your new CD on in the car.
Yeah.
And I was doing some particularly stressful driving. I was having to change lanes and I was just like, I can't listen to this music.
See, that would make me feel, I like heavy metal music, like, oh, it, like it hurt, it just makes my brain like start to like short circuit.
It puts me into a state of happiness.
Oh God. I mean, yeah, like I that's the thing, like I truly love that for you and I really, really do. It's just everybody's got their own frequency, you know what I mean? Like I could never, it would just immediately like stress me out. I'd be like, I hate this.
Do you know
this,
what my daughter's is? Baking.
Oh, now I'll tell you what I do. I've actually planned a bake for today as
Ooh,
a thing to do. Oh, so girls, teaser. I'm going to make those peanut butter fluff bars.
Fluffy nutters.
Yeah, I'm going to make the fluff bar that we had the recipe off of Instagram.
Send us the pictures
listener.
And we'll put it on social media.
I will. I bought fluff. I bought peanut butter. I had a lot of the other ingredients or whatever. I'm not going to make, full disclosure, there's like a peanut butter frosting that goes like in the middle and then the fluff goes on top and the bars on the bottom. I can't do the frosting, otherwise I'll die of cardiac arrest and then I'll just be a mere ghost on these episodes. But I'm gonna do the fluffernutters and I'm so excited about it.
Well, I sent you the picture. I'll put them on social media actually. I'll put it on the same time as the fluffernutters. But we baked some hedgehog cookies today.
Yeah, they're so cute.
She wanted music on and just her music and to bake that, and she was like, this is where I feel most relaxed. That's what she said to me.
Oh, that is so sweet. That is so sweet.
She
I will
can
say
apply
baking
the bake off when she's older.
When she's 9, we've already looked it up.
When she's 9, she can do it.
Junior bake off.
Oh, junior. Oh, okay.
There's so me she's trying to get you two to do it, and she's well up for it already. Come on, she's got 3 well, years to go.
It's hard for me because I'm in the US and we don't have bake off the same way.
And
over
I just
here.
Know that I couldn't handle the pressure.
I'll tell you what I couldn't handle,
Nadia,
standing on my feet for
floor,
6 hours.
Say it again, Nadia.
I just think standing up would be so hard. Like, my back would be, like, killing me. But anyways,
anyway,
I would love
so
to do it.
Phyllis arranges a timetable of visitors to go to Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And they all go for 5 minutes apiece. And it was lovely because they're all showing her. And it's just, There was music all showing it as this montage, and we're like, yes, Barbara's totally getting better, and we can relax now. The first time,
yeah, and the first time I watched the episode, I was like, okay, we're out of the woods, Barbara's on the mend, everyone's visiting, all is well with the world.
And then they cut the music, and it's just Phyllis and Barbara, and we're thinking, oh, lovely, a lovely heartwarming conversation about how they appreciate each other. And situations like this make you appreciate people. And what happens is, Phyllis, look at these, they're worse, aren't they? I can't feel anything with them either. And we're like, oh no, she can't be a midwife anymore. This is the awful thing that's going to be awful, that she can't be a midwife. And they're all crying that she can't be a midwife anymore. And they're all really upset about it. Barbara's crying on her own because she's never going to be a midwife.
Oh, did you see Barbara crying in bed? That's the worst, when you cry in bed and then you just have a wet neck where all your tears have, like,
or wet ears when it like drips down the side of your face and it goes into your ears.
Sure, you just turn your head.
Yeah, but it all rolls down and you just end up with a wet neck, and yeah, like Jen said, wet
ears. Why aren't you sitting up and sorting it?
What if you're lying in bed crying?
Why?
We're letting it out, Alex.
You're for sure.
Barbara couldn't move. Well, Barbara couldn't move, though. I mean, she was
she's excused. You two aren't.
I can't believe you've never dramatically laid down and just sobbed your eyes out.
I've done
that. Oh my God, I've done it so many times.
You know what? I'll try it and I'll let you know how it goes.
It feels so good. It's like, it's so cathartic, and like, you just feel so dramatic. You feel like, oh, just, you're just,
you know,
letting
why
it all
out. I haven't
done
that because I have heavy metal music in my life. All I'm saying is, maybe you should try having that happiness there.
Oh gosh.
Oh, but so anyway. Go on.
It's the fact that she knows she's not getting better, and she has that conversation. She knows what's coming. She has that conversation with Phyllis. I just think it's the most heartbreaking thing.
Yeah.
And then she has a conversation with Tom about babies and bringing their engaged. Like, you know, she was like, oh, well, mate, we may not be able to be a midwife, but, you know, we could have our own babies. And then she asked him to bring her engagement ring. And she says this wedding day where I wore the cape was the safest I've ever felt because of you.
I know.
And I've just got loads and loads and loads of tear emojis on my phone.
That was actually, that I feel like, and I mean this in a genuinely nice way, like that scene. Okay. I think, I can't remember her name, God bless her, the girl who plays Barbara and
Charlotte Ritchie
and the lady who plays Phyllis, those two women are such amazing actresses. Like, they are just so, so talented. And yeah, I feel like they both elevated Tom up. You know what I mean? his scene work with the two of them was the best. You know, like, he, like, when he was... When Barbara was talking, when she was saying that about, like, their life in the country, and it was the most wonderful dream, and his face was just crumpling and the tears were coming down. Girls, I mean, that was the realest I think we've ever seen Tom, ever. You know what I mean? That was just so, like, he was just in his element there. I just, oh God. And I'll just say this, like, I don't know why this connection was made in my brain, but have you guys ever seen the movie Steel Magnolias?
Yes. I weirdly watched it the other week.
Okay, yeah. So Steel Magnolias. So anyway, so I watched that, you know, like when I was a kid, right? And I love that movie. And it's like, you know, I haven't seen it in a long time, so who knows now if there's stuff that, like, hasn't aged well. But anyway,
how did you watch that as a child and grow up as a normal human? Because that is so upsetting.
There's so many films. There's Steel Magnolias, Terms of Endearment. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh God, that's a heartbreaker. That's really
Beaches.
Never Beaches. Seen that. Oh,
you
Beaches.
Never seen Beaches.
I watch stuff like Problem Child. You know about my taste in films.
I watched it probably as a teenager. I mean, I literally can remember renting the VHS from Blockbuster. And I will say this, my mom never wanted us to watch it because it's about a diabetic who has a really horrible, you know, health outcome ultimately, and, like, dies. I mean,
I caught it and didn't understand why she died. So now you've just really connected a dot for me. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, so my dad was diabetic. And so I think she thought that it would really scare us if we thought, you know, watch the story about this, like, yeah, woman who dies, you know, because of a complication from diabetes. But anyway, so we watched the movie, and like that ultimately, like honestly, when I watched the movie, it never occurred to me. Like it never really like made a thing. But anyways, but the scene that it made me think of when Phyllis and Barbara were talking, when Barbara, like, she had her hands clenched and then she shows Phyllis her fingertips and they're just terrible. Like, they're all red and everything. And Tom had just been there. And in Steel Magnolias, Sally Field is in the hospital and she's with Shelby the whole time. and won't leave her bedside, and she reads magazines, and she rubs her foot with, you know, she like rubs her feet with lotion, like, you know, she's doing everything she can to bring her daughter back because she doesn't know if she's gonna make it. And then And she has this really powerful scene at the end, I think it's after she's passed away, where she's like, all the men, like, they couldn't take it. Like, they had to leave. Like, they were with her, but like, who was with her through the end? Who was with her through the worst of it? That was me, you know? And she was saying it because she's her mother, but it just, I don't know, for some reason, it just put it together in my mind that, like, and look, nothing from Tom, because Tom was an incredibly, incredibly loving and devoted husband, but ultimately Phyllis was the one who had to carry him and Barbara through the end. You know, like when Tom broke down during, you know, Psalm 29, and Phyllis had to keep going, even though that's not her faith to do it, and like be the one to like tell when Barbara goes, she was there, you know?
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, oh, but also, to be fair,
oh, I just can't.
Barbara also said to Phyllis, you know, you're really good at looking after people, and you're going to have to look after Tom, because this next bit's going to be the hard bit. She absolutely prophesized, but she knew that Tom was not, yeah, she knew Tom needed Phyllis's strength, and it was horrific. Oh, Tom crying killed me, the ring. But then the worst bit as well afterwards, when everyone was at Nanata's house waiting, and they all just embraced him, and Phyllis did what I would do, which was get away from the hug and go outside.
And just, oh god, when she was ugly crying on the steps.
Yeah,
oh, just sobbing, and just totally bankrupt at that point. Well,
You say, she has the conversation with Phyllis because she knows what's coming. She doesn't have a conversation with Tom.
No.
And I wasn't sure what the, is it a prayer that they were reciting?
Oh, a psalm. Yeah.
Psalm. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what the psalm was, but that's what, to me, that was the most powerful moment, was that when Tom couldn't carry on, even though Phyllis has said before that she doesn't want to pray, don't ask her to pray, but she recites it word for word.
And she knows it helps Tom, and she knows it helps Barbara, and she does it because she wants to comfort the person who can hear her and the person who
loves her
can't anymore.
She did it for them. Charlotte Ritchie. So goodbye to Charlotte Ritchie, who was so amazing and we loved her so much.
Oh my God. Well, honestly, like, even like, okay, so when she tells Barbara about her, about that she knows that she's worse, and then Barbara's like, oh my God, hold on, last, like, I'm going to get the doctors or whatever. And there's this short moment where you just see Barbara sitting there in bed, or laying in bed, and the tears are coming down. And again, she's just so amazing, because in that moment, I just thought, this is, Barbara is reckoning with like the fact that she knows she's not going to make it, you know? She was like, she said, oh, I hate to see the people I love upset, you know? Talk about a death that is so much how you lived, but also so exemplary in terms of like the kind of person that Barbara was, you know, like brave to the end, loving to the end, kind to the end, you know, like she just exemplified her whole spirit in that episode of her at the end of her life. And oh, if all of us could be so noble as Barbara, oh my God. Ugh.
I hate that she's gone. But I do have a fact about Charlotte Ritchie.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know who her famous granddad is?
Shane Ritchie.
Lionel Ritchie.
Lionel Ritchie. I don't know which one's worse. Americans, Google Shane Ritchie, for God's sake. It's not called Ritchie. It's surname. He's a really famous Hollywood Welsh actor.
Oh, wait. Cary Grant. Didn't you tell us this before?
No. Let's not
Cary Grant. Wait, he's not Welsh anyway, is he?
Welsh actor.
Wait, is Cary Grant Welsh? Did I make that up?
No, he's from Bristol, I think.
Huh. Wait, who's Welsh then?
Well, hang on. Is he? Because now I'm wondering, is he Welsh? Hang on, I'll tell you. But Cary Grant is not Welsh.
Oh.
Cary Grant is from Bristol, isn't he?
I don't know.
Oh. Check that.
He is Welsh, this actor. Who? Really famous. Her granddad.
Her granddad.
I'll give you a clue. He was famously married to someone twice.
Richard Burton.
There we go. Wow.
Really?
That was her grandfather.
Yeah.
So wait, who was her... So whose child of Richard Burton is her mother or father?
Her mother.
Okay. And who did Richard Burton have a kid with to have her mother? Do you know?
Yes, I would. Well, I did know. I looked it up.
Because, I mean, it's obviously not the page.
Which marriage is it?
Oh, he was married.
Elizabeth Taylor?
It'll be after, because... Oh, actually, no, I don't know.
It might not be after, actually, because, no. I mean,
I've just realised she's his granddaughter, not his
daughter.
Yeah, hang on, I'll tell you. Charlotte, Richie.
I didn't know Richard Burton was Welsh. I'm not going to look anything up. I'm just going to go with the fact.
Sybil Christopher is first wife, yeah.
Wow. You know, I can kind of see it, actually. Oh, hang on,
someone's put here, Richie is not related to Burton whatsoever.
Oh.
Look at me being like, listen to me.
It's like, I'm not going to fact check this.
But how did it...
You know, I mean, the irony here, I did fact check. I fact checked loads, but I'm really tired. And then I've just read down, and it's not at all her... Scratch that. I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm going to kind of look stupid. We've done Boer War. No, we're not cutting it. We've done Boer War. I thought a flying squad was helicopters. I don't mind this too. If anything, it adds some brevity to the...
God. Well, we really need it, actually, because my goodness.
So, did... Richard Burton was married to her grandmother, but then he left
no,
her
no,
grandmother.
No, I think it's a different person completely.
Oh.
So Charlotte Ritchie isn't related to anybody famous. She's just a normal lady.
She might be. She might be. She just doesn't tell us.
Wow. Huh.
But I will say is she's outstanding. And yeah. We miss her very much still to this day.
Oh, my God. 13. I know.
She's still my... top one between her and Patsy for my favorite ever midwife.
Oh, I love Patsy.
Same.
You know, I think
I love Lucille as well. Actually,
I think Phyllis might be my top favorite.
Yeah, midwife. I think Phyllis is still.
Oh,
my
I also
favorite.
Love Phyllis. Yeah, and I love Chummy. And I love Cynthia. There's too many. I love loads.
I know.
Not Jenny Lee.
Ugh.
No, not Jenny Lee.
The more I know about her, the less I like her.
I've read Jennifer West's book and I don't like
it. Oh, Bex, how far into book three are you?
I've only just started it.
Okay. Oh, okay. I won't say anything else. But how are you doing with book three?
I'm gonna be honest. I hate it. And after last week's episode, I tried to read it and had to put it away because I couldn't even think about it. So I will be back
yeah.
this week.
Yeah. The I mean, no, is, no spoilers, listener, but like book three honestly sucks for the first three quarters of it. It's horrible. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, if you're ever like, oh.
Well, if you ever think, oh, this, I'm really looking forward to a nice, refreshing, lovely read about, you know, lovely old time.
A heartwarming historical walk down memory lane by one of the most noble medical professionals of the last century who gave her all. Nope. It's if awful. Ever you've been tempted to just say goodbye, cruel world, you know, this book will get you there. My God. Oh, it's terrible. Honestly, whenever I think about like get like really like, you know, when they're like AI is going to end humanity, and I'm like, you know what, that's actually fine. I don't know that we really have much to stand on, like reading books like this. I'm like, probably computers would do better than us, you know what I mean? We just, there's not much worth fighting for, like, just, it's okay, you know what I mean? Like, we had our shot, we blew it, that's fine. Which next I absolutely week. Do not believe at all, but it just, oh God, this book is so dark.
Next week isn't going to get any easier though, girls, because next week we've got Barbara's funeral.
Oh!
Heavy. Ugh. Heavy. Ugh. We're just going to miss a load. Like the Sister Evangelina episode. Heavy, heavy, heavy.
I thought I was sad at Sister Evangelina going.
I know.
But this was like, this was sad and tragic at the same time because Barbara wasn't even 30 years old.
I know.
She barely had a chance in this life. You know what I mean?
And what's Tom going to do now for his ironing?
He's just going to wear crumpled clothes.
Well, clearly Barbara
on Thursday, I went out, right? And I went out with my daughter and I went to the cinema and then I went for a milkshake afterwards with a little pal, right? It was lovely. Uh-huh. Apart from the cinema, it was awful. But
oh, wait, what did you see at the cinema?
We went to watch Migration and it wasn't that funny. And it was like, had really scary bits three times for no apparent reason. It was really annoying.
Was it a cartoon?
Cartoon, yeah, you.
Oh.
Anyway, it just annoyed me. Anyway, but that was fine. Everything was fine. But just because it was colder than I realised, I got a jumper off the like hanger bit. Not, you know, like a clothes maiden. I got it off there. And,
you
and
bought
then
a jumper while you were out because you were too cold.
No.
She lifted it off her clothes there at home.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then whacked it on, didn't even look in the mirror, I never would. And then literally got to the, watched a film, all this. And then I got to the place where they were having milkshakes or whatever. And the woman literally said to me, behind the till, I'm buying a milkshake off for my daughter. You could have ironed your top. And I was like, what happened to the customer always being right?
Why do I need to hear that?
Yeah,
why
I was just like, yeah, could have, but that? I didn't, did I, mate? You can see I didn't. So why are you saying it?
Well, also, what do you care? I'm not at work. I don't mean, you don't even know me. Why would you comment on that?
And also, it
that?
Wasn't like it was dead wrinkled. It was just one crease, you know, like it, because it's been folded over on the area. It
well,
was like
a
crease in the middle.
It's not like a shirt where it's got all the 8,000 rumplies. It's a sweater. Yeah.
She did say she liked it, but you could have ironed it. And I was like, rude.
The well, you know
girls club, you, strong you girls club top.
You could have kept your comments to yourself also, by the way. So just think about that for future.
But she does sell an amazing milkshake.
Oh. The sort of thing I would have done is left the cinema, and then you know when you just found you've got little bits of popcorn all over you where you've dropped them in the cinema and they've just yeah. attached to your clothing.
I've had it in my hair before. Yeah. I don't even have that longer hair. It's just embarrassing.
Now, wait, was this the kind of milkshake where it was like ice cream plus milk blended up, or was it like just milk?
It's milk, but it's bits of chocolate bars that are blended up. So I have malt in your mouth, and it's Kinder Bueno, a whole Kinder Bueno bar, and a whole thing of pack of Maltesers, and then they blend them all up and put it in.
To milk, just
well,
milk.
It might have ice cream in as well, I don't know.
But it was thick, like it was cream. Like not,
yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
not just, it was thick, okay. That's
no, they have like
wonder.
A machine to shake it up. It's
oh, okay, well there's got to be something else in there, like soft serve or something. Oh man, now I really want some ice cream.
Oh, it's next level good, I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
Should we get back to Call Midwife?
Yes, let's. Should we talk about Lucille? Because this kind of goes
yes.
side by side with the whole Barbara.
I don't know
story.
Why. This all the other storylines kind of just felt a bit blah to me in relation, because Barbara's one was so intense.
Well, actually,
everything
I
else...
thought this one really was went hand in hand with Barbara's.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just didn't hit as much for me, I guess. I mean, I appreciated it, and I was sympathetic to Lucille, but at the same time, I was like,
to be honest, I loved all of the other storylines that were going on, and I could have. This is one of those episodes. If it wasn't for Barbara's storyline, that I would come back to.
Yeah, and I kind of forgot that these storylines were going on with the Barbara. Like, I was like, oh, if it, yeah, exactly the same. I would totally like this one if it wasn't for the worst death in the history of anything I've ever watched ever.
I cared more for the juvenile detention young man than I did about Lucille. Sorry.
Oh, you're not sad for Lucille?
I don't know. I was, but at the same time, I was like, I just felt like, I don't know. The scene with Valerie where she explained finally what the deal was very, like, good. You know, like, that one really kind of, that, like, really put context to it. But I guess the whole time, I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, just go to a different church. Like, I mean, I just, I don't know why. It just didn't.
Yeah, but the whole thing is she's conflicted, isn't she?
Oh, I get it. And I felt for her. I guess, I don't know. I guess it just didn't ring a bell as much for me.
I was heartbroken when she says that she isn't sure that she can go to Mrs. Palmer's prayer group because Mrs. Palmer reminds her of her mum and her aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also okay. Full disclosure. I have not watched the most recent season. I've only watched up to the most recent Christmas special. So that's where I stopped. Because we haven't gotten the new episodes just yet. So I don't know if there's something in the newest season that will change. Okay, so I'm just going to say this. But because I know what's happened in the future with Lucille and with, no spoilers, but Cyril, I guess I just didn't feel as much sympathy for Lucille in this moment. Because I felt like I had that future context.
Hey,
and then
now.
I was like, okay, well, like, it just didn't feel as sympathetic to me this time watching it because
so,
I know
Jen,
what she does in the future.
I'm the exact opposite because of that.
Mm.
I feel like because I've now know the future, I
yeah.
feel like historically her character has always experienced some form of feeling conflicted, never feeling welcome, always being homesick. I think it explains her exit. Well, we've just spoilt it there. But I feel it explains her exit even more. I think it explains how she was feeling even more and actually shows historical context to it. If anything, I was like, whoa, writers, that is well impressive.
We'll see. But that makes me more mad about it because that if she'd been feeling this way for so long, then why did she lie to herself and Cyril and get him involved and everything else and then decide she was going to ditch him like so bad? You know what I mean?
But it's like, also, I think if Lucille felt at home, there's a lot of external forces which influence Lucille in this. Like she's
yeah.
in this episode, she's just faced discrimination at a church.
Yeah.
And she's been made to feel like she doesn't fit in. And then when she leaves, there's a similar situation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I feel really bad for her. Like the situation of the church that she's at is terrible, and like absolutely she should never have to go through that. I guess I just like, if you've been feeling this way for so long and you've been homesick for so long, then like you should have known better.
I'm gonna take also. Like, she really suffers. Like, we can't talk about,
well, we can't go into it. I'll just say, like, I like, on its own, yes, I'm with Lucille, but this storyline for me was kind of like, okay, you know what, like, she went to the nice church with the nice people, like, okay, great, end of story. Like, and then I just kind of left it there. Like, well, it's not one that I'm gonna like really
do, well, context here. So Lucille first meets Mrs. Palmer when she's taking on Barbara's patients.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she realizes, she asks where she's from, and she realizes she's from St. Catherine's. She's like, oh, I'm from Manchester, Jamaica. And they start talking. And you can tell she's really at ease when she first speaks to her as well,
mm-hmm.
Which was good. And she says this door is always open, like at home, which I thought was really nice.
Well, and the mom says, you know, like something about my husband being a pastor. And she's like, oh, what church? And she said, this church. Like, we literally have church in our living room. Like, you should come anytime. And she was like, well, I don't know if I really want.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Too, but then she, yeah.
And I also, my heart breaks for Lucille, because Lucille says that she should be trying harder to fit in, and I'm like, no, people shouldn't be racist towards you.
Well, exactly. And like, if people are going to hold that against you, like, well, you're never gonna, like, you can't change the thing about you that they don't like. And
well,
like,
why do you want to win them over either?
Well, they shouldn't dislike you for that reason anyway, because it's a terrible thing to feel about anybody, you know what I mean? So they should all just like stop being so horrible and racist and just be nice, and honestly get out of the church, because you're blaspheming already by being that hateful to somebody. That's not what God would have wanted of you, and if you listened to what the person was saying there, you would know better. So don't even be there.
It warmed my heart though when you saw Lucille go to the church and just feel a massive warm welcome from everyone.
I did like that part.
Yeah,
I did.
You know what else I really loved about it as well? Val was supportive and so lovely. And she's not religious, but she also said she volunteered to go to church with her, even to the new one. And I just thought that was quite similar to the fact that what Barbara kind of did, because she's also a heathen. But she, you know, she obviously, we spoke about it before, let's not go through that again because it was awful. But then Lucille did go to the church, and Barbara's death was the catalyst that she did need to send mm-hmm. her there. Life's too short to be going through these horrible things and singing solos in churches where people are horribly racist. She's exactly. going to go to the church where people remind her of her mum. And then they sang and ended the episode, by the way, with the most beautiful voices singing Amazing Grace. It was absolutely gorgeous. I just thought, oh, and then she just looked so happy and so welcome. She was just there singing along. And oh, it warmed the cockles of my heart.
And I was looking out for Cyril. Is that the church where she meets Cyril? Because then Cyril becomes the pastor, doesn't he?
Doesn't
she bring him to that church?
I can't remember.
He's the mechanic, Bex.
They meet when he's working on the car, when he's working on Phyllis's car, I think.
Yeah. Or is it the moped?
No, it's the car.
It's the car.
Okay.
The moped was Alec.
Yes, it was.
I think we're like, or was it this? And we're like, no, it's not. Just don't say it wasn't.
Thing is though, I don't want us to have a bad reputation, like we're bullying Bex or whatever, that she's got a bad memory. She genuinely does have a bad memory, and that's why we say it.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh my god, wait a minute. Sorry, you guys. This is like unpod related. But look at this photo I just found of me when I was in sixth grade.
Oh my god. Who are you with? Your teacher.
My teacher.
You look so grown up.
I know. Well, this was like, I think we had a concert or something like that. Look how skinny my legs are. Also, she was like 25. Like, we were literally her first class out of teaching school. And she got engaged, I think, at the end of our year. And yeah, how young she
At the
is.
time,
She
you're probably
looks
like,
so
oh, she's
80s.
25. She's so old, getting engaged that old.
I know. Look at my little baby face. Oh.
There, you look very similar to now.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I've always looked like this. Yeah. I've always looked like a middle-aged woman.
Want to say it, but we met you when you.
I'm really joking on myself.
Awful.
I really
Your
don't.
comment has just made me realize that we are like we're middle-aged.
I know. God willing,
I didn't know,
we're
Jen. I
halfway
didn't
done.
know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, listen, if all goes to plan, we're at the 50% mark right now.
Oh, don't tell me that because I genuinely didn't
Yikes.
realize up until this point, and now I feel
Oh,
really
I've
old.
realized it because I work with loads of apprentices and graduates, and they're all like, we worked out the other day that I work with someone and I'm a mum's age.
Well, this will make you feel old. So look at, okay, so that picture was on top of this that I'm going to show you guys right now. It's a certificate of appreciation, but literally this looks like I got it in about 1700. Look at this. I don't know if you're going to cut this
Listeners,
from
the
the ep.
font is ridiculous. Like
Yeah,
that was done in 1971.
No, try 1771, okay? This is like the sister document to the Constitution of the United States of America.
That is
Oh
really weird. I'm not gonna
my God.
lie.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, girls. I mean, I don't know if you want to leave all this into the podcast, but like
I
my
do.
mom is going through all this stuff in our house because we're trying to still unpack, obviously. And there's so many boxes that were labeled for, this is my sixth grade graduation, this photo. And there are so many boxes that, just like the detritus of life. You know what I mean? Like just all the stuff you collect. And oh, God, it's just never ending. And like almost every day when I come home from work, she's like, you've gotta see this. And it's something that like my sister did or I did, or like she found this book that she gave my dad like the year they got married, like all this stuff like that. And it'll never stop blowing your mind. Like it's
Question,
one thing when you're
do you have a ceremony for every year you graduate, like every year of school?
no. So sixth grade was the end of elementary school for
Oh,
us, which would be the end
okay.
of, I don't know what you guys call it, but or I can't remember now,
Primary
but
school.
primary school. So this year was the end of that, and then the following year I went to what we call middle school, and that was seventh and eighth grade, and then after that I went to high school. So this was like a big deal because we were leaving the school for good,
Now,
but
even though you say that I'm very minimalist and get rid of everything, I do keep random stuff like that. So I've probably like after my day, you will find a box of just loads of random things.
but Bex, one box.
Well, at the minute it's one box.
We have at least 87 boxes. That's the
My mum and dad were like, oh, we've got all your school books here. Do you want to collect them? I'm like, no, I didn't want to keep them in the first place. Why have you got my old school books? Like, get rid. And my mum was like, oh, we can't. And then my dad was like, that's why we've kept them. But yeah, I don't want my geography book from year nine where it's just, you know what I mean? She's trying to make me put them in my loft. No, thank you. Get rid.
I mean, some of it's very, very sweet, and some of it is like, I mean, I will say like the perspective of time does help because there's stuff I know that like, especially with parents, it's really hard to give it away when it feels so fresh, you know? I mean, Al, I know you know what that's like. Like, I know you're probably good
No,
at
I
like.
literally give away. I literally am like, right, what are we keeping this week, Bobs? And she's like, no. And I'm like, if you're keeping it, it goes in your room. She's like, no. We recycle on a weekly basis all the crap.
So you just kind of cherry pick here and there, like a couple of things of hers that you actually
Yeah,
hold on
most of
to.
the time we say, oh, do you know who'd love that? Grandma and granddad. I do that loads. They've got so much crap at theirs.
Oh God, I know. I will say, like with my nephews, it's really easy to just—they haven't really gotten to the age where they're like producing a lot yet because they're just still so little.
Oh,
But I
she's
just.
prolific, Jen.
Oh, I know. Well, I just know like when I get that first card where they've signed their names and they say like love, ugh, I'm
I've
gonna
got a
die for that.
painting that my nephew did where he's literally, I think he's like dipped a marble in paint and then like rolled it across a piece of paper.
And And you're like, I'll cherish this forever.
Yeah, it's in the box.
I know. It's too sweet. It's too sweet.
Oh, no. There's sweet at first. And then you're like, oh,
well,
this was sweet. And now it's just absolutely never ending, incessant.
At a certain volume, it will not have the same.
Well, she's just doing rainbows, and it's just, don't get me wrong, it's gorgeous, but it's just craft after craft after craft, and you're a bit like, oh, granddad, do you know he'd love that, granddad, and isn't it? Oh, he'd love that. And she was like, but I gave the same one to grandma last week. Yeah, but then they've got two then.
They can share. Also, we're getting to the season now where, like, it's going to be time for, like, all the little kids to come home with, like, little bunnies, you know, made with, like, glued on, like, cotton balls and everything.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, man.
I've got an Easter egg I made with wool that's actually ace, and I'm going to try and recreate it. So watch out for that, girls.
Oh, yeah. Please keep us posted. But yes, Bex, we should get back to the episode.
Back to Call the Midwife.
We've diverted.
Well done, Bex. Normally it's me. Carry on.
I know.
So I never, ever tell us to get back. So no. I'm glad I took your hint, Bex.
Alex is always, so anyway. Dr. Turner is working at Wadelock House, which is a school. It's like a, I said it was a juvenile detention home, but I don't think it was.
It's like reform school, right? It's
reform
like
school.
Yeah,
because when jail. Michael's sentenced, he's sentenced to juvenile detention, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But isn't this like a borstal, like the one before that?
It's just like
a boarding kind of place for young delinquents.
Well, basically, they can't leave and they have to work all the time. I mean, it's not a workhouse, but it kind of is in a way, because like they basically have to do all these jobs around the whole place and they have to work all the time and then they can't leave. I don't know what you call that, but
I've written a line here. Scabies, what a welcome.
Okay, wait, girls, not to be gross, but like, are scabies, is that an STD?
No, there's not.
What's scabies? Where do you get them?
Do you think
this episode was so much darker in your head?
And what? That's why it's spread like wildfire through a reform school.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you just get it by, you know, maybe it's like not sexual, but like.
That's the very definition of an STD.
I know, but. But maybe it's like, well, what is it? What's scabies officially?
I think it's mite is usually spread by direct prolonged skin to skin contact with the person who has scabies, or it's like stuff like bedding things.
Oh, bedding. Oh, okay. So it's more like lice or something than it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
What you were thinking in this episode is really dark.
Well, I didn't think sexual, but I just didn't know what it was, and then I just was kind of like, oh well, anyways, it doesn't really matter, and I just moved on. I didn't give it a lot of thought, but anyway, sorry. Oh, here's something lighter. You guys call it star jumps and we call it jumping jacks. Isn't that funny?
To be fair, they're both very infantilized words, aren't they?
Well, the thing is, the guy said star jumps, and I was like, oh, okay. And I know, I mean, I knew what he was talking about. And then I was like, oh my gosh, they call it, like, we call it jumping jacks. And then I was like, why do we call it jumping jacks? And then I just got back to crying about Barbara, and I didn't think about it again. But anyways.
Really quick, and I will get back to everything, Bex, but just really quick, I saw a TikTok this week, and it was about Americans not understanding what a lollipop lady was.
I saw that TikTok. And also, I didn't know it was called Lollipop Lady.
Honestly,
I didn't know. I thought I would know too.
What's yours called?
Oh, just like Crossing Guard.
Yeah.
But Fred is even a lollipop man.
Yeah.
Or
that's
is that
what I thought you'd
recent,
know.
Is that in a more recent series?
Yeah, but still. Oh, is it the list this series?
We'll have to see if they actually use the term Lollipop Man, because I wouldn't have had any recognition of it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have resonated with me. Like the other one I asked you guys a couple years ago was, what's a Lido? And I'd never known what a Lido was before.
To be fair, I've only ever been to one like once ever. It's not something I've had around here.
Mm-hmm.
I love a Lido.
So you guys want to tell people what it is? You would love
it's
one,
an,
Bex.
It's an outdoor swimming pool on the coast.
On the coast? I don't think it's specifically on the coast.
It has to be. No, it's just an outdoor swimming pool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
My husband used to go to one all the time growing up.
Yeah, I just didn't know what Lido was, and I saw something and I was like, what's, so I had to ask, and then you girls told me and I was like, oh,
the Lido near me, when it closes for the autumn winter season, they have a session where you can basically bring your dogs.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, and I keep trying to book so I can take Ned, but I can't get in. It's like, it's fully booked every, and then part of me is like, is it like, it's fine swimming with just my dog, but is that actually fun?
See, one of the things I hate about swimming is sharing bodily fluids with other people. The fact that they're bleh, could go, I just hate swimming because of that.
Wait a minute.
So dogs, no thank you.
So wait, the dogs don't just swim by themselves. Like, you have to go in and swim with them?
I assume so.
Ooh, no, I don't want to do that. No. I'd let the dogs go in all by themselves and just have like doggy pool day, but I wouldn't go
in. I've never seen it, so I've not seen it in action, but I would imagine that you... Oh, I don't know
how... Jessica, dog's best.
I bet you it's just the dogs, and then you just stand there and like watch, and it's like, oh, so cute for them. I bet
but
you
how do they get in and out? I know how they get but how do they get out?
They just like jump in and are out.
Yeah, but they're not going to climb up the steps to get out, are they?
Well, is it a ladder or is it steps?
A ladder.
Oh, but they could also, like, you could help them. Like, they could put their paws up and then you could, like, help lift them out.
Not to stop.
Like, so anyways, back to the episode.
Well, actually, no, I'm just going to go off on one more tangent. I keep seeing TikToks on people going to really nice, like, Airbnbs and stuff where they have hot tubs and stuff. And they all keep basically getting scabies. And I've seen so many people get horrible scabies kind of things from hot tubs. Yeah, serious.
Oh, my God.
I would not. I'd be fine with a professional hot tub, but not an
Airbnb.
I'll
tell you what. Hot tubs are not for me. Hot tubs are not for me.
They were for me until I saw this TikTok, and now I'm never going in one ever again.
Oh, no.
Because I bet people have sex in them as well.
Well, but hot tubs are just also, like, definitely a breeding ground for, disgusting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, germs and everything. It's just terrible. Like, I mean, talk about water that's not sanitary. No, no. Also, it's hot. I'm not a hot water gal. No, no.
I think we're actually going to run out of time to talk about Michael Sumter.
Let's talk about Michael Sumter.
As if anyone needed our hot tub commentary.
He's the same age as Timothy, but he's married.
Isn't he 15 or is he?
He has to be 16.
Oh, 16.
He's married. Okay. 16.
He's got a girl pregnant, Allison.
Allison Weatherly.
He's in Wadelock House because he was trying to earn money and he was just given the keys and told to move the stolen car and then obviously got caught.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, a bit bloody stupid.
The scene where, I don't know how old this actor was when he got cast, but he was very believable at 15, but really, like, what made me laugh was the scene between him and Dr. Turner, where he's getting treated for the wound on his hand, and they're talking and everything, and he's saying, like, I stole this car, but I didn't really mean to, but I also did do it, and I do feel really bad, but my girlfriend's mom was, like, such a bleep that, like, I didn't want to take any money off of her and everything, so then, like, you know, I was, like, in a corner or whatever, and then he says something about, anyway, Dr. Turner mentions the fact that he has a son, and he's like, well, how old is your son? And he's like, oh, he's your age. And he's like, he's actually in some trouble right now too. And he's like, oh, well, for what? And he's like, he went somewhere he wasn't supposed to go, and like,
he went to orchestra too late and stayed out too late.
He stayed out too late. Yeah, exactly. And like, Michael just starts laughing, and Dr. Turner's like, oh, and it's just one of those moments where, like, I don't know, just something about the scene I just thought was really charming, because clearly this, I mean, and Michael even says that he, you know, he's like, I really needed someone in my life like you, but I never had that person. And I wish, like, not I wish you were my dad, but you know what I mean? But like, I wish I had somebody that was like really there for me and could have kind of guided me in a better way. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be in this mess. And I don't know, it was just really sweet.
And also, like, Timothy is very much, I still think of him as a child here.
Yeah.
But then when you look at Michael, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Absolutely.
His childhood is just over.
Oh, it's done. It's
And his wife has got the weight of a child bearing down hard because she's about to give birth to it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, they didn't do it in a mean way, but he spoke before the three magistrate panel or whatever it was to decide the ultimate fate of his case.
And I would have released him.
Of course.
You know what about me, though? The way they were talking, so Dr. Turner's like, why can't I speak for him? And then the prison governor or whatever it is, governor's like, oh, you can't save them all. But then he got Timothy a suit and tried to help him as much as he can. And he was like, you just got to believe in yourself, Michael. Just believe in yourself. speak for yourself. And so he sees Alison just before he goes into court, and he's like, no, Dr. Turner, go with Alison, don't go with me, she's more important. So he goes in and he gives a speech of his life, and he still gets 3 years. And you're just like, oh, great.
Well, and they were like, wow, you know, we really can tell that you're remorseful and you understood what you did was wrong and that you won't do it again. But anyways, we don't think you can really handle your responsibility. So we're going to send you to 3 years of jail where you can be traumatized and like demoralized, basically, and then get out and have the responsibility of.
But keep your spirits up. Here's your son. She brings the son in afterwards and he sees him and he's like, yay, 3 years of absolute horrificness with scabies. And now I don't get to see my son after all.
Yeah,
that.
I'm going to miss every part of his early childhood. Yeah.
I hope he learns a trade.
That's what I thought, you know. I did think hopefully he'll put his head down and learn, do something like education, trade, whatever, and then come out and actually can apply it.
Oh, well, God willing,
girls. Also, there was something very, I do have to say, I put here, crude. The boys in the borstal were taking the mick out of this Michael something. I don't know why they were absolutely carrying on for him.
He said it happens to everybody, so.
Right, but they were like, oh, talking about his wife, and they were like, forget to pull out. My goodness. It's very crude for Call the Midwife. And he was like, she's my wife. And it's like, they obviously put that scene in to explain it for us that he was married. Also, we haven't spoken about how Alison actually finds out about Michael going up for court and everything. It's because Sheila is his. So Dr. Turner comes home, speaks to his wife about it, speaks to Sheila about it. Then he says, oh, can you look out for a Sunter, Mrs. Sunter, on your list, you know, your midwife list? She's like, oh, there's no one.
I think is against some sort of code of conduct, but
it
anyway.
Is for both of them. And then, so
oh,
she's
no,
like,
oh, no, I would just say, like,
husband,
looking at the...
Yeah. My husband's your husband's GP.
Now, that would have been a little bit of an outside of the bounds. And she's like, he's going to be in court today, did you know? And she
probably husband... told her she had scabies. He had scabies as well.
Oh, gosh. I will say this. That mother-in-law, Mrs. Weatherly, she was a bee. Golly.
Well, you say that, but I'm telling you now, if my 16-year-old daughter came home pregnant, had to marry someone, and then he got sent down for 3 years, I think I would also be like, no, you're not seeing that absolute waste of bloody space. You know, just from her perspective. Do you know what I mean? He did steal a car willingly. And it's true that he did. Sorry, but would you not be happy? As godmother to my daughter, would you be happy if I said to you, oh, guess what, Jen? Bob's just got herself pregnant. She's 15. She's about to turn 16 next week. I'm going to have to let him get married to save face. But then he's just gone and landed himself in Borstal because he's just, you know, stolen a car. He's going to get 3 years.
He'll get some good technical training. It'll be a good grounding for him.
He could just go to college, Bex. Don't need to go to prison for that.
You know who he's like? You know who he's like? He's like, who's the boy that got that girl pregnant who was diabetic?
Yeah, and then they that's went to the I got that bit mixed up as well.
Yeah, and then Paulette. Both of those boys were going to jail because they were trying to do the right thing, but they did the wrong thing, and then they got sent down for it, and then they had to pay the consequences, so.
But they weren't trying to do the right thing by doing the wrong thing. They completely did the wrong thing.
Well, I know, but they were kind of trying to do the right thing because Michael was trying to was doing like, quote, a job so that he could get money, so that he could be like, he could help
Michael
Allison.
Stealing a car is not a job.
It's not, but he was he felt that he only had one way out. And then the other boy, I can't remember his name, he took what's her face like away.
Paulette.
That was Paulette's fault.
I know, but
he was an idiot. He was
following her directions, thinking that was the right thing to do.
Allison never told him to steal a bloody car, Jen.
She didn't, but he was trying to provide for his family.
Well,
I'm not saying
badly.
I'm not saying it's like a good thing.
He's staying away from my daughter.
But here's a moral question though. What if they still love each other after 3 years and after he got out of jail, and then they wanted to reunite and be a family then?
What do you mean? I don't care if they love each other or not. If he's in prison, you can bugger off, mate.
Michael's gonna be my hero for like going above and beyond to provide.
Listen, if he wanted to, he would. Okay.
I'm just not having it for my Bobs. It's not happening. To be fair, no. If they did, and he got his Duke of Edinburgh, great. Rolling Stones at the Regal. Exciting. Wasn't allowed
oh my
to
God. Get.
Not exciting. Also, Dr. Turner, what are you doing? Not letting him go see the Stones.
Oh my God. Well, and think about it. Like that's now let's just wait. Stop for a second. Do you think this is like when the Rolling Stones were still
yeah.
kind of small? Like this is like early days, right? This is like the very beginning. When he's like, oh, I just heard about this cool new band, the Rolling Stones, like that kind of style.
Yeah, they formed in 1962. So
oh, so this must have been right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, God.
Shall
That's
we
crazy
do?
To think about.
Heroes and Zeros, ladies.
Is that do everything? It. Did we do it all?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well,
it was a big episode, but
oh my Lord.
Not a load of storylines because obviously one overshadowed them all.
Ugh. I mean, I don't think we're all going to say the same thing, but I can kind of see us all saying the same thing. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Phyllis is my hero.
Yeah, that was mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even though she was going through her own heartbreak, she was supporting Tom. Mm. And she was there for, I just love Phyllis. And I just, my heart breaks for her.
Same.
That's not why she's a hero, but.
She did amazing. She was so supportive of Tom. She did amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And she also made it so that everyone could see Barbara before that they loved so much before she died.
My zero is going to be Michael's mother-in-law.
Fair.
No, sorry. That is me.
Alex is like, that's my hero of the episode.
Right, Becky, you tell me if that was your niece and she's 15, I'm talking in 4 years' time or 5 years' time, 4 years' time nearly, and she brings him home. Are you happy about that, mate?
I'd be like, he's a good lad, deep down.
He'll go to
or
trade
would
school.
You be like, I don't think I approve of this. What do you think you're doing? We know for a fact exactly which one you'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's not Michael's mother-in-law.
It's definitely not. I'm sorry. I'm not having her as a zero because she's not a zero. She may have mouth on her.
I just still don't. I mean, even if she's not wrong, like there's a way to communicate and she just was not a very effective communicator because, I mean, the thing is she was tearing Allison down at the same time.
She still
time.
Deserved to be a zero.
Well, listen.
I still annoyed my 15-year-old.
Aren't you the ones that have always said that we have to respect each other's zeros, whether we agree or not?
Everyone is not against me.
My zero
Becky
is going to be.
Becky gets to keep her zero how she wants it.
Yeah, but does she want it that? I'm just letting her question it.
Oh,
I want it on record.
No, I'm going to change. I'm going to switch. I'm going to have the people at Lucille's church that make her feel unwelcome.
That was my zero.
That's a good one. Okay.
My hero is Mrs. Palmer.
Yes.
For getting Lucille to go to the new church, welcoming her to her lovely. I just really liked her accent and I just thought she really carried herself lovely and I just absolutely loved her.
Yeah. So also, she was very up and together considering she was 2 weeks postpartum.
Yeah.
Oh my God, amazing. I know. She was.
My zero is Michael's mother-in-law. I'm joking. My zero is Scabies. I just don't think I need to explain that.
Okay, so my hero and zero. So I always want to do my hero second. So my hero, no, so my zero is going to be meningitis, septicemia.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's worse than scabies.
Yeah, it took Barbara from us. Like,
yeah.
Gone too soon. And I just, like, you know, it's just terrible. And she never should have been robbed of a long life. And
it's awful disease. Like, it is awful. We know someone that nearly died with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, it's still clearly something that's like really, really terrible. And, you know, like just no one should ever get it, if possible. So, yeah, just I hate that for her. And that's terrible. And then my hero, I mean, I don't know if any of us have said like Barbara explicitly, but I'm just going to give it to her. And like specifically, and specifically her bravery and kindness and like caring of others, even in at the end of her life, you know, like even when she knew that it wasn't going to work out. And like, even when she didn't know if it was going to work out, but she thought she was going to lose the career that she'd loved her whole life, you know, she was still, you know, finding ways to, you know, think about a positive future and like, you know, all of that. And I just think Barbara is a legend. And honestly, like, just, I mean, I know she's fictional, but a truly aspirational person. And I just think she's like one of the good ones, one of the best. So, you know, like Barbara, man.
R.I.P.
I love you, Barbara. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, ladies, you know the actor who played Michael Sumter?
Yeah.
Yes.
He also had a famous grandfather.
Oh, who's...
Was it Richard Burton?
Yeah, I just wanted to, finish with a bit of a joke.
Are you sure it wasn't Cary Grant?
No, because he's not Welsh.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. That was famous. That was the key fact that I missed on that one, for sure.
Yeah. No, it was awful. I just wanted to give a bit of lightness there because it was just
Levity,
so awful.
levity.
Yeah.
I know. Well, listen, I mean, I'm sorry, listeners, that if you did decide to watch this episode in advance of listening to this episode, that you had to go through all of that because
Oh.
I felt like I was losing a beloved friend. So,
That really
oh
was my
man.
worst ever episode as well. And last
It's
week's was
terrible.
horrific.
It's terrible. I will say this, there when you I don't know if either one of you have ever watched the episode of like the series 6 Feet Under, but I watched that show like God, it was maybe it was like almost 15 years ago now, but it was on Netflix on DVDs, and I would rent them on DVDs from Netflix and I would watch them.
Oh yeah,
And
forgot they did that.
I got into this groove with 6 Feet Under where I just watched, like, that was all I was watching. Like, I would just return one, watch one, you know, that kind of a thing. So it wasn't a binge the way that we think of binging like a TV show now, but it was as close as we had at the time. And not a spoiler, but just to say, like, when the last episode of that show, I watched it, I had a very similar reaction to this Barbara episode because I had gotten so attached to these people. And that show is all about death because obviously it's about a, you know, family who, you know, has runs like a funeral home and everything.
Right, I've never heard of
And
it.
oh my God, it's such a good show. Man, it's such a good show. But anyways, like very well written, very well done. But I had just gotten so into the show that, you know, the end when that all this stuff is happening and they show, I don't want to spoil it if people haven't seen it, but anyways, it just really, really deeply affected me. And I just, you know, honestly, I think that's what really good entertainment can do. You know, you just get so invested in these people that are, you know, just on a TV screen, but done well, can really tug at the old heartstrings. So also
I
6 Feet Under is really worth a
love her
watch.
so much, and it is just so sad she's not going to be there anymore.
I
And also,
know.
when I want to kind of reflect on what I first thought when I first watched this episode, because obviously we all know what happens afterwards and stuff now. But at the time, I was just thinking, oh my goodness, what's Tom going to do now? You know, ugh.
I
I
predict a
don't
crisis in faith.
I he'll get remarried. I hate to say it, but he will. Like he'll
Yeah, he
grieve and
moved
then
on
he'll
from
get
Trixie
remarried.
pretty fast.
Well, the thing is,
That was
men
never
just
meant to
do.
be, though.
No, I know. But men just do that. They just I'm not to say like in a bad way, but he's gonna get remarried. He'll find somebody else.
You
He'll
can't
still love
replace
Barbara,
Barbara as if
but
you could ever replace Barbara, though. Like, it's
oh,
not
there's
like
no
he's.
replacing Barbara. There's no replacing
No.
Barbara. Well, look at Dr. Turner. He loved whoever he was married to the first time, Timothy's
Did he? Because they
mom.
never bloody talk about
No, they don't talk, they don't remember a birthday, or there's no photos of her.
And if there is a photo, Timothy squirrels it away, hiding it. Shame, shame.
Well, Dr. Turner had that moment with Tim where he was like, you know, what did he say? Timothy was so embarrassed. He was like, "You'll always be my little boy," and
Yeah,
everything. And I was
that's
like,
like me
"Oh,
and my
Dr.
6-year-old now. I'm like, like when she was a
Turner."
baby still, and she's like, "Mummy,"
She's
gets
like,
dead
"I am
angry.
too old for this."
Yeah, do you know what? Actually, you know, I was talking about going to the cinema before. We went to the cinema to watch the film, and it was really terrifying at one point. And the little kid we were with got really upset as well. And when we walked out of the cinema, we all walked out, and she just looked at us and she went, "Let us never speak of that again." I was like, where have you even heard that? Let us never speak of that again.
Just like
Really
soldiers who
dramatic.
survived World War II that like come home and they're like, we don't want to talk about it. Like Bob's is like, oh, I'm not revisiting that dark time in my life.
Was just so dramatic as well. Let us never speak of that again. I was like, all right, flipping heck. Yeah, it was a bit harrowing at times, mate,
Just a movie, okay, kiddo? Oh
but.
man. Oh, well, we've talked so much. Have we said it all?
But said so little. Yeah, we have. But oh, I've just dropped me something on my laptop, so that'll be nice to edit. So next week we are discussing Series 7, Episode 8, but also we are reading, what's it called?
Farewell,
Farewell.
farewell to the East End.
Not even about feathers. Farewell to the East End. Am I reading the right thing? I must be. I've sent you a photo. Farewell to the East End. And my goodness, I want to say farewell to that book. But if
Yep.
you want to read along, that would be fantastic. And we're going to do a book review. Obviously, not this next week, but the week and or nor the week after, because we normally do a synopsis kind of thing.
A season round.
Season roundup. I can't even think.
Is there only one more episode?
Yeah. Oh, there's a Christmas episode as well, is there?
Yeah.
One
So
more
there's
episode, Christmas
three more
episode.
weeks. Yeah. So I'm talking rubbish. But that gives you an extra 3 weeks. I've just literally got an extra 2 weeks there. So. But yeah, gives you time to read it and get over the depression of it and then listen to us again.
I'm still not over it. I finished it a week ago. I'm still not over it.
Oh, I've just it's not enjoying it. But that's good for me.
I will say this. If this will help, because I didn't know this was going to happen, but I was so gosh darn grateful it did. So you'll read about 3/4 of the book and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, this is terrible. It just goes like, goes from like bad to worse. But then there is a wonderful, really amazing, uplifting, happy part. And that will just, you'll just coast right through the rest of the book once you get there.
Right,
and I won't say anything more about it, but if you just get through the slog of like the first 3/4 of it, then when you get to the last bit, you'll be like, thank bleep that I'm here, and just know that from there, like, you can make it through.
Good for Ashley Houseman.
Yeah.
So next week though, we are doing series 7 episode 8. So if you want to listen to that and then watch that and then listen along with us, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you can send us any questions to recallthemidwife@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, X, it's called now, before Becky corrects me, and Facebook as well.
Subscribe on all the podcast platforms.
Yes, and leave us a review, a nice one.
Yeah.
That was a bit friendly, wasn't it? A nice one.
Only a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. Anyways. Otherwise, you'll go to Boston like Michael Jackson
and get scabies.
And that, to be fair, we've just got through the hardest one. I think we're going to get through, so well done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, after this, it's going to be okay. We're going to be all right.
Thank you so much for listening to us, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.